Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. FocusandFind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business the News Hour. Grateful that you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. You know, we are in a coffee shop in the middle of Iowa. That's where all the background noise is. And I really do prefer doing these in these kind of live circumstances because, well, it makes it more real, right? And, you know, we're not locked into some hyperbolic studio someplace doing this. We're actually out with the folks. With me are two new guests to the NewsHour, Kim Hopkins and Lisa Carbonelli. They are a company called Velarosa. And Velarosa is cycling gear for women, by women, been in business since 2015, female entrepreneurs, and I can't wait to find out more about their business. Kim, Lisa, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Hi, Michael.
And
hi, Michael. It's great to be here. Thanks.
All right. So that was the voice of Lisa, and the first voice was Kim. We'll kind of identify this as we go through. All right. So we'll start out with Kim. Kim, you and I met about a week ago, sitting out on the patio and talking about things related to cycling and communities and economic development and how cycling really plays an important part in that. And then you're wearing a hat that says Velarosa, and I should have gone, duh, what is this? That's your company. Tell us about the beginning of Velarosa.
Thanks, Michael. Yes, that was very fun getting to meet you the other day and talk about our community and about the role that cycling plays in our community. I will give you a little background on Velarosa. We launched in 2015 at RagBri. RagBri is coming up again next week here in Iowa, so it's a special time of year for us. But Velarosa was born basically out of Lisa and I's frustration at the lack of options, apparel options for avid female cyclists like ourselves. So it was truly the old saying that necessity is the mother of invention. We couldn't find the kind of gear we wanted to ride and train in, so we decided to make it ourselves.
And so when you do this kind of thing, this is a real jump, because there are many manufacturers of cycling gear that are out there, Lisa. And so what was the real driver? I mean, folks can buy cycling gear from almost anybody at any store. But when you say for avid female cyclists, what does that mean?
Great question. So one of the things that Kim and I, when we met, we had met as riders out in the community. We're pretty active. I think you could accurately say that this is our sport. Some people golf, some people play tennis. And for a certain section of the community, we love to ride our bikes. And so part of what was really essential for us is finding the right type of gear so that when we went out to train, we not only had something that was high performance, that was comfortable, but also that had a little bit of style. So part of where all of this came from is that actually Kim was a member of a small group of women who had started a women's cycling team. And Kim was responsible for designing what we would call a kit. Now, a kit in the industry is a jersey and a pair of shorts. And Kim was responsible, because of her wonderful graphic design background, for creating these wonderful looking kits. And I was fortunate enough to make friends with these women and actually join the team. And what I realized is that Kim's kits, whenever I wore them, people would stop me on the bike trail or wherever I was riding. If I went to Colorado, if I went to visit friends in Chicago, they would sort of say, hey, where did you get that awesome looking cycling kit? And that was one of the reasons that I went back to Kim and I said, hey, you know, this is, I think there's a real niche here. There's a real need for women to have high quality gear that looks great. And that's sort of where the business idea was born.
So, Kim, as a graphic designer and a person that does this in the past and now, even so, what was the big picture for the kits that you were creating? Was it color? Was it style? Was it how the kit flowed from shorts to top? And the functionality of it? So what was the big driver as far as the look?
Yeah, Michael, really all of those things. Mostly what I was seeing at the time when I was going out to shop for cycling wear was a lot of, not a lot actually, a very few options, and most of them were in pastel colors with swirly white flowers and butterflies on them. And that is just not
to pigeonhole anybody or
That's, I'm not naming any brands, I'm just saying that's what I saw, and that was not the look I was wanting. And judging from the reaction of our team wear that Lisa was talking about earlier, I didn't feel that's what other women were looking for either. So I guess the impetus for us in designing cycling wear was, yes, to have stuff that fit, that wasn't just smaller versions of the menswear, that were actually gear that's actually proportioned to fit a woman's body. High performance, because we like Lisa said, this is our sport. We do it a lot, and you pay good money for cycling wear, and you want it to hold up over time. So that's a second consideration. And then third, this is most of us, or pretty much all of us, are doing this as a hobby and for fun. We're not doing this professionally, so we might as well have fun with it and be bright and bold. And adding to that, just the safety impact of that. We really truly believe that on a bike is not a place where a woman wants to minimize herself or appear smaller. We want to be bright and bold and be seen on the road and the trails, really wherever. So being seen, having fun with it, having gear that fits and is comfortable and that is well performing, those were the factors that we had took into consideration.
As we talk about cycling as a whole, and you mentioned Ragbri just a little bit ago, I think this is the 50th year, but actually last year was skipped because of the COVID pandemic, so I think we're celebrating this year. And this is the Ride Across, for those of you who are out of the country or out of the state, this is the Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa, a seven-day event that goes from the Missouri River to the Mississippi River. And they've got an interesting, and every day there's, traveling 50 to 75, then there's a 100-mile loop that is thrown in there as well. So it's quite an adventure. And you folks launched during Ragbri, Lisa? I mean, what kind of an idea is that? Why not pick one of the very biggest events where hundreds of thousands of people know about it, and you say, hey, I got this crazy idea. Let's go ahead and launch during Ragbri.
We really truly believe that Ragbri, like, that's our born on date for 2015. Kim and I, and again, if you go all the way back to the origins of the business, it was completely self-funded between the two of us. Kim and I came up with all of our own seed money, and we invested in all of these different looks and designs, and we bought a tent, and we drove across the state, and we woke up at 7:30 in the morning and put up our tent, and we had no idea what kind of reception we were going to get. When you think about the folks that do Ragbri, they really are our target market, because, again, you're looking at people that are riding up to 60 to 70 miles a day for several days in a row. So we figured this is the place that we should be. And Kim and I laugh about it, because the morning that we woke up from our hotel and went to set up our tent and hang up all of our kit designs, we just had no idea what kind of reception we were going to get.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it was pretty spectacular.
Did you have stock? Or were you selling it on the...
Oh, no, we brought it in bins. Like,
really?
And we were unloading it in bins, and we had to run to the Target to get more hangers to hang up more of our collection. So we were really... I mean, when you talk about learning this on the fly, my background is formerly as a journalist, Kim as a graphic designer. So, again, figuring out retail outside in 100-degree heat at 7 o'clock in the morning with a tent that doesn't blow away, like, it was pretty comical. And we look back on it now... and just realize, what a stroke of good fortune we had that morning, but also how nerve-wracking it was at the time.
Seat of your pants marketing. At least that's the voice of Lisa Carbonelli, ladies and gentlemen. We're with Lisa and Kim Hopkins. They are Velorosa, cycling gear for women by women. As we talk about distribution of these things, Kim, that's an important part, because even though you launched at Ragbri 2015, you can't necessarily stay that hyper-local and be able to be a success about this. So that takes another whole trend of thought and action, because you've got to be known not just in Iowa, but in neighboring states and across the country. So how did you market yourself to get to that point?
Yeah, great question, and you're correct. Our projections for growth and the way we want to do that is really to get our brand awareness in many other states, and I think we're doing a really, really good job of that currently. Our sales channels right now are our website, our B2C website, and we are trying to increase our B2B, working with local retailers.
To wholesale this out, right?
Mm-hmm. Local retailers here, we're trying to expand that. We recently, in 2020, a competition with Title IX, which is a women's sportswear company, and they picked up our line, so that was huge for us. Going forward, yeah, we just want to keep getting the word out,
right,
to women, because we just know that this is a niche that we hear over and over at the events that we do. I guess the other sales channel would be live events like Rag Bri. And we hear over and over from the women who come to our booth, you know, finally, we've been looking for stuff like this and we can't find it. Finally, there's good looking, great fitting, high performance cycling wear for us, made specifically for us. And so we know we're on the right track with this idea.
Lisa, let me ask you the same question in maybe a different way. As you know, you can design some of the best things. You can have supply channels to consumers on a local level. You can make all of these one-on-one appearances, but that takes lots of time. And
absolutely.
So the amount of sales versus the amount of time put into that is absolutely huge. So again, as you're looking for the B2B channel, as you're wholesaling to folks out there, are you guys making knock-knock stops at these places? How are you introducing your clothing line for bicycling to some of these retail outlets?
So what's really interesting, Michael, for us is very recently, we won't name names, but we just took a trip north to do an in-person pitch.
I happen to know where that was, but I'm not
I know you do, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that went really well. We haven't heard yet, but we've got some good feelings. But yes, we walk in and we have many of our designs on hangers. It's a little bit like Rag Bri in a sense that we go in, we have our product. Kim and I know exactly, you know, all the specs about our gear, what it is that women have said over and over again that makes our product one that they go back to. We have a tremendous customer return rate. I think it's over 43%. I mean, most of our, we have repeat customers. Once it seems we get somebody, you know, into the hopper, they tend to like our product and they come back again, especially when we release new collections. But yes, it's 100% a pitch. We walk in and I think what's been really successful for us, if I can be so bold, is there is still that wonderful interpersonal connection that happens when you can sit across the table from somebody and say, look, not only do we design the gear, we test every single piece of the gear. We listen to customers. They're able to come to the owners and say, hey, I'm really looking for a shorter short. Would you ever think about making a slightly shorter short for this need or this sport or whatever we're doing? And so, as wonderful as social media is, as wonderful as this interconnectivity that we have, there's something about walking in a door, shaking a hand, and absolutely, you know, talking to people about what our product is all about.
Well, that's so important because no matter what you're selling, and ladies and gentlemen, you know this, if you've listened to us for the past 15 plus years, you know, we always talk about that relationship business of selling whatever it happens to be. Yeah, you can put stuff up on whatever sales channel there is on the internet, but if you are standalone like these folks at Velarosa are, you really need to have that intimate relationship with so many people, not only your customers, but also the people who are about to sell your stuff. So as women in a business, what kind of opportunities have you had that might be a good piece of news for other women that are in business versus some of the roadblocks that you might have experienced as you've been working with Velarosa? What do you think, Kim?
Well, I would say one of the roadblocks, or one thing that's difficult, is trying to convince a lot of the smaller male-owned bike shops to do something different than what they've been used, what they've done all along, which is usually plain black shorts and solid colored cycling jerseys or the pastel prints with the
butterflies
and flowers. So, you know, that has proven tricky for us. So we don't stop trying, but we are trying to approach some of the larger retailers because they seem to understand our vision.
Well, and you've just said it. You know, if I am a 1, 2, or 3 shop bike shop someplace in the country, I'm used to doing X, Y, and Z, and the big names all come to me and they sell me their stuff, and you kind of get into a rut, and you may or may not have your finger to the pulse about what exactly is going on out there outside of your little world. So your job is not only to sell the quality of the product that you have, but also to convince people that it's viable. Yeah?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Lisa, when you go to some of these places to sell your product, and Kim just made mention of that, you're probably dealing with a lot of male owners that you know, have a certain niche idea in mind. How do you convince them that your product is something that people want? Do you walk in there with videos and say, "Look, these are all these women that are doing this stuff"? And you know, how do you actually, other than the face-to-face interaction, here's our stuff, how do you prove to people that it's something that folks really want?
Well, I think the first thing is the fact that we're still in business.
You're right.
Right? And I mean that genuinely. You know, the fact that we started in 2015 and that we've seen growth every year, you know, reinforces the fact that we do have a pretty good idea. And we have this wonderful customer base that provides us all this feedback. The other thing that I think is really important for us, and kind of going back to this being women in business idea, what we have to do is when we're talking to male bike shop owners or you know, corporate executives who happen to be men, what's been really powerful for us is when there's been another woman in the room. So again, for example, this place we went, there was one woman with 3 other men who were listening to our pitch. And it was the most fantastic testimonial as we're explaining why we know this market. We are this market. We'll tell you what we ride. We'll tell you what we've heard. This woman, another executive at the table, goes, "I just love your stuff. I know how comfortable it is. I've been looking to bring you into my particular store for a very long time." And it really is that, you know, sort of outside testimonial.
It's that aha moment.
Yes, it's fantastic. And when she sort of, you know, chimed in during this meeting, it's like you couldn't have queued it up any better. So what we have found is that if we can convince some of the big decision makers that in point of fact there is a segment of the cycling community that is made of women that are serious about their sport, this is the type of gear that they need, that we need in order to do it. And so all we got to do is get in there and show it to them and you know, make our case that it's not all... you know, it's not necessarily leisure wear. For some of us, it really is. It's
essential gear. So the next question is, how do you assist those retailers in marketing the material? Because that's kind of an important part of this is, you know, okay, so what kinds of things are you going to do for me? I'm going to go ahead and stock your stuff, and we'll put it on a hanger someplace. But is there a channel for you to be able to assist your retailers in marketing the products? How do you go about that?
Yes, I think so. I mean, obviously, a lot of these big retailers have huge, you know, much larger marketing budgets than a little company like ours.
Sure.
But we do everything we can to promote the fact that our gear is in their stores. We do a lot of social media posts and referrals that way. I would say that's how we do most of our communication with our customer
base. What about point of purchase displays and things like that? Are you doing anything?
We haven't done that
as
of yet.
All right. Well, those are all kinds of things that can come along. Lisa?
So I'm going to brag a little bit about Kim here. When you see our kits on display,
boom.
Boom. I truly, because again, part of the whole aesthetic that we believe in is this real wild pop of color. Again, as Kim has said before, it's about safety and being seen on a bike, whether you're on a road or, you know, whether you're on pavement, whether you're on gravel. But when certain stores put up our collection of kits, I rarely see people not stop and
sure.
take a look, especially, you know, women that are into cycling. It really does. But maybe I'm a little bit biased, but we do a lot of we tag each other in social media. We will always brag about when a new vendor has picked us up. We will do a bunch of dedicated posts toward them, and then they will tag us in
right.
their posts. So we do have that sort of reciprocal arrangement that goes on.
It does sometimes become circular like that. I have for several years I have emceed a Women's Bicycle Day at an unnamed location here in the greater Des Moines metro. And I got to tell you, the women, it's a women's cycling event. And there's a fashion show, and there's all kinds of things that are really directed towards that. One of those ideas that you might be able to take on the road to some of your retailers is say, hey, you know, why don't you dedicate a day to doing that? Yeah, okay, well, Lisa says I got to talk.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. We did actually, that's a great point. And Kim and I were together. We went to a local bike shop. It wasn't a chain. It was just sort of an individual bike shop. And we hosted a bike night where women came in.
Yeah.
This was before the pandemic, so I'm sorry. Sometimes I have my pre-pandemic memory and my post-pandemic memory. But we hosted this wonderful bike event, and it was filled with women, and we got to showcase our product, and then we also got to talk as a community what it's like to be out on the road. We had a police officer come and talk about bike safety. You know, again, as we embrace this community and recognize that there are women out there that want to ride, want to learn more about riding, and want to continue in their sport, we find that we would like to be their advocates
mm-hmm.
across the board.
And that's so very important. This has been a really great conversation. I know that, look, we are avid cyclists in our family. My bride was the president of the Des Moines Cycle Club for a number of years. Knew you, Kim, from that life back in the day. And we didn't put it together until I said, hey, Georgie, do you remember? Yeah, well, of course I know these people. So this is really an exciting thing. Final question to you is this. Kim, can you explain, and we talked about RagBri, we talked about retail, we talked about cycling clothes. Can you help folks understand how major an economic development driver cycling is in not only Iowa, but in the United States?
Excuse me, I don't know if I have those kind of statistics in my head, but I think we've seen it play out in our community here in Des Moines over the years. Our state, our city has been really great about building more and more and more and more bike trails.
Yeah,
that
over
connect.
750 miles of bike trails in Des Moines. I mean, it's crazy.
Exactly. And in fact, I was just had a friend in town over the weekend who's from Fort Collins, Colorado, who likes to think that they are, enlightened cycling community. And he was amazed by the amount of people he saw out on the trails. That he was actually from here and has says the change that he's seen since, you know, he rode here back in the day, you know, was just, he was dumbfounded. He couldn't even believe it. So all those people are going to, I mean, they're obviously buying bicycles and they're buying gear and clothes and parts. And there are also a lot of what is involved in cycling is stops for beverages and food all around. And, you know, it's a healthy lifestyle. I think it brings people to our state for that reason. So,
well, and it does. And you just mentioned something that is so important. Many of these small towns, wherever they happen to be, especially in Iowa, they congregate along the bike trail. And there are bars and restaurants and ice cream places and clothing stores and sundry items and all kinds of things that are all over these places. And they are the lifeblood, albeit only for about 6 or 7 months during the year, because it gets a little brutal to put on snow tires on your bicycle. But those are important things for many of these small towns that have been an economic driver. I want to thank you both for spending so much time talking about Vela Rosa, Kim Hopkins and Lisa Carpinelli. And yes, we will have links to their website and all that they do up on the radio blog. And there's also a special promotion code for you, so you can get a percentage. How much?
15% off full price cycling gear on our site. And you can use code Insight15 on our site to get that.
Insight15, if you want 15%. And by the way, thank you for doing 15%, because one of the things that we know in the marketing world is that 10% doesn't really motivate anybody, but 15 does. So thank you so much, Lisa. I really appreciate it. Kim, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael. It was nice.
Thank you very much.
The world of cycling and cycling clothes with Velarosa. And yes, we will have links to Velarosa up on the radio blog. And remember, Insight 15 to get your 15% off. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For Kim and for Lisa, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.